Hello, everyone. George Watkins with our Sunday night blessing. What a joy and a thrill to be able to meet together and enjoy some of the overspray of God's glory and his anointing and the revelation of his love to us. On a Sunday night, you and I talking together. Amen. Well, I appreciate everyone that is part of our program. And if you're new, subscribe to YouTube, like me or friend me on the other one, you know, Facebook. And you can also go to the Faith Producers Facebook as well. I have a thought in my heart tonight I want to share with you about the ultimate challenge. We are in a society that is lacking in something that's causing, especially the younger generation more so, to try to find the ultimate thrill, the ultimate challenge. Some time ago, someone came up with the term the bucket list. They made a movie on it, I think, where a couple of old guys were trying to do the thing that, you know, the fulfill the bucket list before they died. Well, the bucket list is a list of things that I want to accomplish, and the challenges come. Some people jump out of airplanes. Some people go caving into the depths of the earth. Other people deep sea dive. Some people love to climb mountains. Somebody wants to write the great novel. All those are challenges that our soul, our personal character, our personal desires want to fulfill. Well, we get up in the morning, or at least at the first of the week, and we say, I want to accomplish this today or this week. I need to have this job done. That's a challenge. Not the ultimate one, but it is a challenge. Now, when we use the word the ultimate, it's the big one. It's the one for life. It's the one that captures my emotions and my energy and takes me on into my future. The ultimate challenge. I was called to preach. In my mother's womb, they tell me. My father and mother told me that. Because they asked the Lord for a son that would be a preacher. Well, they spoke that into my life, and it became a prophetic word to me. It was their prophesying my future. So I lived all my young life with one challenge. I didn't want to be a rock star, little exaggeration there. I didn't want to be a lot of things. I wanted to be a preacher. And it consumed everything in my young life. Was it perfect? No. I strayed here and there for a brief time in my teenage years, wanting to do things that weren't God's direction. But I stayed on course because of that ultimate challenge. Now, God had an ultimate challenge, and that was to bring us back to his heart, his bosom, redeem us from the hawk shop, the pawn shop, that we'd been sold to as a race of people, as a creation of people. Matter of fact, the entire cosmos, the entire creation was affected by the fall and by the treason of Adam. I have a sneaking idea that all those dead planets out there that they discover, like Mars, that has no life on it, I have a suspicion that they were living planets, because everything God creates has life and has a purpose. So you and I then have been brought back to life. Because God made his ultimate challenge. What was it? It was how to bring them back. And so he chose his beloved son, sent his son. Jesus became the second Adam, fulfilling the Adamic covenant. When he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He finished the Adamic covenant. It wasn't finished with the blood covenant of the new creation. That wasn't finished. He still had to go to the grave. His soul went down into hell, and he preached to those who had been captive since Noah's day. His body went in the ground as a wrapped up mummy in a cocoon, and his spirit went back to the Father. That's how it works. And scripturally, you'll find that. So when he brought his blood into the Father's presence and presented the sacrifice, perfect lamb, sacrificed blood, the Father received it and said, "It's done." The ultimate return back, redemption of his lost children, buying back from the grip of Satan. He bought us back and we were redeemed. So, because of that ultimate challenge that was completed, we now have the ability to complete our challenge, and that is to fulfill all the will of God. I love that tagline that's just kind of dropped in the middle of the New Testament, that David fulfilled in his lifetime all of the will of God. I've had some pushback from that, from some skeptics. Well, he was a murderer. He was an adulterer, a fornicator. I mean, he did a lot of bad stuff. And he killed a lot of people. How could he fulfill all the will of God? Because he didn't do all the checklists that we have. But Scripture said that he fulfilled all the will of God. You and I certainly have a bumpy road in our perfect lifestyle. There's times that we don't get near the target, let alone hit it dead center. But God said he would bring us back, he would bring us to our ultimate goal, and that was that we could enter in. We could, he would say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Now, how does that happen? How does it happen when we are so incomplete in our emotions and in our physical and mental and even our spiritual development at times? We just are not complete. How can we be perfect wanting nothing? How can that happen? Well, we know it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, obviously. So faith then, the faith of God that has been planted and embedded in our spirits, begins to manifest, and we follow the Spirit of God in perfect sync. We're synced together with this perfect will of God. You know, we have such a checklist in this side of the veil, in theology, in church doctrine, in the rules of order in the church, and this spiritual stuff. How many times have someone said to you, "Well, I didn't think Christians did that"? Well, what were you doing? You were breaking a taboo. You were doing something that was not in the Christian doctrine. Now, I'm not suggesting you go out and be a foolish person and do foolish things and, you know, hurt your body with some habits. No, 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 no. We're not trying to poke people in the eye. We want to please the Father. So the things we do that don't seem to be perfect, if we'll learn how to please the Father. Now, how do we do that? Father said he wanted to prosper us. "Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." So that's the Father's will, and that's his perfect will, isn't it? So how do I please the Father? Two commandments. He gave me two only because I can't count to 10. I was fouling up the 10. Well, he comes with 2. Love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I've often said, if you love yourself, you can love your neighbor. How do you love yourself? If God loves me, I can love me. If he loves me unconditionally, I can love me unconditionally. I have been created in his image. Amen. I have been created in his image. Now, I want to read to you in this thought on the ultimate challenge out of the Mirror Bible, put together by a South African fella. Just a great paraphrase. And he's dug down to the real roots of these words and gives you some great illustration. If you haven't seen the Mirror Bible, it's named after the whole purpose of it is to see that Christ is a mirror image of us. What we see in Christ is who we are. It's a beautiful paraphrase. John 3:16, the one that we quoted, probably the first one you learned. The entire cosmos. Now, the King James says, God so loved the world, but that word is cosmos. So the cosmos is every created thing he's ever done. Do you know they keep discovering more galaxies? My Lord. How many galaxies are after that out there? Now, we're the Milky Way, right? I think so. And we've got how many planets? There's 9 of them or something like that. Well, they tell me there's about 1 trillion galaxies now they've discovered. Whoa, I can't think that high. But this scripture says that he came to redeem the cosmos, not just my backyard and my 4 friends and Kansas where I live, you know, whatever. But he came to redeem it all. So with that big ultimate challenge, look at this. This is the Mirror Bible. The entire cosmos is the object of God's affection. And he is not about to abandon his creation. The gift of his son is for humanity to realize their origin in him who mirrors their authentic birth. Begotten not of flesh, but of the Father. In this persuasion, the life of the ages echoes within the individual and announces that the days of regret and sense of lostness are over. Oh my, mouth is full of good words when I read that. Just think about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him. That's the ultimate challenge. And you know what happened? It worked. It worked just like everything that God does works. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price. When he rose from the dead, he proved the scriptures true. He ascended to the Father and presented his blood to the Father. And the Father said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys. Now, what was the joy of Christ? It was, he said, he entered the cross. He saw the joy that was ahead of him. And he went through the sacrifice because of that joy. And then God said, son, enter the joy. The joy now is that you and I get to sit together in heavenly places with our elder brother, Christ Jesus, the mirror image of who we are because we're made in his likeness. God's ultimate challenge was completed in Christ, and it is completed in you and I. Wow. Doesn't get any better than that, folks. That's the Christian message. Now, I know the Christian message goes into other aspects. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast the devils out. Yes. But if you don't get this first one, You'll struggle with your identity. You'll struggle with faith. You'll wonder if God still loves you. You need to really keep it in your spirit that he did the ultimate challenge so you can be the ultimate son and daughter. Amen. You're not going to fail. It's impossible to fail because God said you're going to make it to the end. Just like when Jesus said, let us go to the other side. It was impossible for them not to go in spite of the crazy storm they ran into. They were going over there on the command of God and the prophecy that Jesus said, let's go, fellas. No matter come hell or high water or the biggest storm in town, we're going to make it to the other side. And God said he has redeemed you back to himself. You're there. You're coming home. And your friends are coming home. And all the other scallywags that you think are lost forever are coming home. I'm telling you, God's redeeming his cosmos back to himself. Amen. Now, I'm not one that wants to get out quick. Some people want to escape this thing. I believe we've got a work ahead of us. I believe we have time ahead of us. I'm not going anywhere. I'm planted here until God calls me home personally, but his work is not over until he redeems the cosmos. You're part of that scheme he's got. So get with it. Be encouraged. Stay focused. Keep your spirit strong. Let your faith grow. And remember, you look just like your brother, Jesus. Everything you see in him is in you. Exact match. We are twins. And that's something. So, seated in heavenly places. You know, I got time to read that verse one more time out of the Mirror Bible. Now, just listen to it. The entire cosmos is the object of God's affection. And he is not about to abandon his creation. The gift of his son is for humanity to realize their origin in him who mirrors their authentic birth, begotten not of flesh, but of the Father. You were born again, your new creation in Christ Jesus. That's that new birth you have. In this persuasion, the life of the ages echoes within the individual and announces that the days of regret and sense of lostness are over. Come on. Stop regretting and stop feeling like you're going to slip on a banana peel any minute. You are super glued. It's not that easy to lose what you got. So don't struggle with that. Amen. Well, thank you for stopping by on Sunday night. I love to preach a little bit. Remind you to sign up if you haven't. And if God's nudging you to send us a financial gift, you can do it with the little PayPal button down there or the snail mail. And it'll be a blessing to us. We'll put gas in the tank and we'll be off down the road doing the will of God. Don't forget, every morning this week, we'll be fired up and ready to encourage you in your early morning coffee. So tune in and stay with us until tomorrow morning. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord ignite you like a firecracker. And when he does, you'll blow up for him in Jesus' name.